I just read the sloka 16 and 17. I read sloka 16. Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in the position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety. In text 17, which is on the board, the emperor of Puru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona, but later he was again protected by the Lord. The emperor of Puru's descendant, begotten by the hero Abhimanyu, in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of Drona. But later he was again protected by the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta. The embryonic body of Parikshit was in formation after Uttara's pregnancy by Abhimanyu, the great hero, was burned by the Brahmastra of Aswatthama, but a second body was given by the Lord within the womb, and thus the descendant of Puru was saved. This incident is a direct proof that the body and living entity, spiritual spark, are different. When a living entity takes shelter in the womb of a woman through the injection of semen of a man, there is emulsification of the man's and the woman's discharges, and thus a body is formed, sized into a complete body. But if the developing embryo is destroyed in some way or other, the living entity has to take shelter in another body, or in the womb of another woman. The particular living entity was selected to be the descendant of Maharaj Puru or the Pandavas, was not an ordinary living entity. And by the sheer will of the Lord, he was destined to be the successor to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, when Aswatthama destroyed the emperor of Maharaj Parikshit, the Lord, by his own will, entered into the womb of Uttara by his planetary portion, just to give audience to the would-be Maharaj Parikshit, who was in great danger. By his appearance within the womb, the Lord encouraged the child and gave him complete protection in a new body by his omnipotence. By his power of omnipotence, omnipresence, he was present both inside and outside of Uttara and other members of the Pandava family. Translation. Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in the position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration in the path of piety. The emperor of Puru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu, in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona. But later he was again protected by the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam, so many levels, Dharada Pandit, every single day he gives the Bhagavatam class in Navadvip, eternally, in all the slokas, in many different tunes, and extracts many different meanings from each word. Bhagavatam, in some places, is described as the Radha Purana, Radha Samhita, Radha Krishna Samhita, because actually it's singing the glories of Vrindavan. It's in every sloka. And Raghunath Das Bhatta Goswami also had the pleasure of the other Goswamis to sing all the slokas in many different meters, attracting many different meanings. But although we can find the name of Radha Krishna in every sloka, and according to some acharyas, we can find Radha's name in every single word, in every single syllable of Bhagavad. Same Krishna's name. But still, this is not the recommended way to propagate Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down to hear the Bhagavatam of Nityananda Guru Advaita and all of his other associates, he again and again requests Bhagavatam Pandit to recount the story of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Kunti Devi, prayers. If one wants to be able to approach the Bhagavatam, it must be in the line of the acharyas. And the presentation which the fine Srila Prabhupada has given us is supported back through the line of the acharyas. Although every now and then the acharyas will point out some deeper meaning, give some different interpretations to the slokas. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who pointed out that the slokas are glorifying Mayapur. And this is all true, but if one wants to advance in devotional service, he must start from the sadhana bhakti practice. One great pandit once went to Navadvip, and he was a very successful pandit. Everywhere he was conquering by his knowledge and getting signatures of all of the other pandits in each place he went to take. In the meeting, Kashmir pandit, or Keshava pandit. And he came here to Navadvip also, and eventually was defeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Saraswati Devi, who very much favored that personality, she revealed to him that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, and is actually her eternal husband. Actually, Saraswati also has a gopi from Saibya, gopi. And so she informed him that I couldn't allow you to defeat him. So I bewildered you, that you'd make some mistakes. But later on, when he approached Mahaprabhu again and surrendered to him, Mahaprabhu instructed him that he must not reveal at this time my glories. Let everything unfold according to the plan. Let everyone find out about this avatar, about this topmost place in Navadvip, in course of time, as is desired by him. He also told him that if you reveal these things, then certainly you will die prematurely, and you'll go to hell many times. Of course, why? In the case of Ramanujacharya, his spiritual master asked him to keep the mantra which he gave him. on Ryan. Secret, but he ran on the top of the building and yelled it out to everyone. The way here we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only to him, but also told to Ramana Chari and many others, that for now you keep this secret and of course the sign between will be revealed. The reason he explained to the Keshava Pandit is that if one tries to explain something very intimate to unqualified persons, then he'll cause that person to fall down and also his own. Yes, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are there. It is very possible to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, even into the most intimate pastimes. But not prematurely. One has to take everything according to one's qualification. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur has pointed out that the sixth sloka of the Shastakam has given us the qualification. And when we can rise to that point, tears running from the eyes, every moment, so long, separation from Krishna. When we can come to this platform, then we can describe the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna again. Deeply meditate on entering into those pastimes and rendering service within those pastimes. One should not preach the glories of the holy name to the unqualified. But that's an offense. One should not try to understand levels of the Bhagavatam which one himself is not qualified to enter into. And one should certainly not try to teach others whether they're qualified or unqualified. Because it's an unqualified mind try to teach either a qualified or unqualified person who certainly fall down. So we follow in the footsteps. And this is the way to attain success. Otherwise certainly we'll become offenders at the holy name and certainly we'll have to suffer in the family. Ways. The Bhaktisiddhanta has pointed out that some people then meditate. That let me be a gopi, let me be a manjari. And on the misdirected conceptions, they come to some conclusion that actually I'm this manjari or that manjari or this gopi or whatever Baba may be, that I'm an eternal resident of Vrindavan and I have a body and form like this. My age is such and such, my service is such and such. So the Bhaktisiddhanta would say that one who is meditating in this way, being a manjari or gopi, certainly in his next life he will take birth as a woman. But not in Vraja, not as one who made servants of Krishna, but simply a woman within this material. In the great devotees, they take on a position very humbleness and act as ordinary living entities in this world. Let's speak of an ordinary living entity trying to pretend to be much more advanced than he is. Some people take the sloka from the Gita of what one is thinking of at the time of death, surely to that he will attain. So as I'm thinking of being a gopi, surely I'll become a gopi in my next life. But the consciousness also has a lot to do with this. Seeing as a living entity, that's what he is, conscious. If his consciousness is polluted, he's still meditating on sex life, if he still wants to be the enjoyer, if he still wants recognition as the doer, And if he's meditating on being woman, that's what he becomes. Here we see Krishna in Hastinapur. Actually, he was just about to leave when he was through at the Kala. Came rushing to him. Just see the unique thing here. That here are the five Pandavas, all capable of giving great protection. Obviously great personalities like Bhishma, Drona, Duryodhana must have been present somewhere there. But not thinking of any approach, he rushed toward Krishna, knowing that only he can actually give protection to the soul. The Brahmastra was approaching. Nothing can stop it. But she wanted that her son be protected, representative of her husband. And she knew that this personality was a great personality who could rule the world and bring people to the level of Krishna consciousness. She approached Krishna, even though so many other great personalities were there. If you please, protect the personality in my womb, even if I have to go. Krishna chose not to counteract the Brahmastra, which after all is presided over by Lord Brahma. But he respected Lord Brahma and allowed the Brahmastra to burn within the womb of Uttara, destroyed the body of Maharaj Richard, which was still in a embryonic state. He washed away all the radiation and gave to Maharaj Richard a new body. Gave to Maharaj Richard a transcendental body because he had such a important task to perform as a listener of Bhagavatam, as a person who is going to ask questions to bring out the hidden meanings of the Bhagavatam. The position was no less than Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami, the speaker of that. For is there not a proper hearer who can ask relevant questions, and the speaker not in a position to fully elaborate on the intimate meanings of the subject matter. Association, Tadam Sangha, Shravana and Kirti. But if that is not there, then just speaking. Does not bring out the ecstatic mood when that reciprocation is there, that subtle sangha is there, then the real understanding of the subject matter comes through. Krishna also protected Uttara, obviously, Brahmastra burning within her womb would hardly not affect her, but she was perfectly alright afterwards. At the same time, the five Pandavas were also attacked by the Brahmastra. The Krishna simply requested the five Pandavas that do not try to counteract the Brahmastra, but simply offer your obeisances. And in their case, the Brahmastra simply passed over. And this is the secret to protection from the Lord. To now that we see the change in the Lord. And if we're very humble, then every danger will simply pass over. The Lord's protection is guaranteed. Suri Sanchakra is always present where the Vaishnava is. Giving protection. As we saw in the case of Mahagambrish, always present. The devotee has nothing to fear. Fear is because he understands that Krishna is always there present. Present in a way which no one else can be. Yes, we may have some very close persons to help us in a different way, but they can never be with us all of the time. He's within the heart, he's outside, and within every atom, between every atom. He's within the consciousness. He's within every element, mind, body. Not just that there are atoms in the earth, there's atoms in the air, there's atoms in the false ego, atoms in the mind, all of a different subtle constitution. Same type of building blocks. And Krishna in a very intimate form, a paramatma, expansion of Anirudha, is within every single act. Need come tremendous gratefulness and knowledge. Everywhere, even the most subtle, Krishna is there. Can't remember where we put something because Krishna is taking away from the news. We sit down to give a class and we can remember something because Krishna is giving that remembrance, not because we're some clever sick. Arjuna was such a great bowman, yet some common cowherders were able to defeat him and take away the queens of Krishna who were under his protection. Same personality who was able to face thousands and thousands of warriors. But it was time for him to move on. It was no longer his time to display such powers to the people of life. The moment we become a battling fool, Krishna takes away our intelligence. Out of the pillar, Sinhadeva appeared. Not just the paramatma in the form. Krishna in any of his forms can manifest from anywhere. Out of the Shaladhan Shila manifested his beautiful form of Adhuraman. No limit. The Lord can manifest anywhere, anytime. To have great confidence, great faith. And the Lord is our protector. We're never alone. The very essence of our real understanding of Krishna consciousness. That I have an eternal relationship with Krishna. To have an eternal relationship with someone means that we must be eternally together. It is ourselves which have chosen to enter into the darkness of forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna has not made such a choice. He stays with us. No matter what, waiting hopefully that we'll change our choice. We cannot see Krishna, ultimately it comes down to a lack of desire. To develop that desire, as much as we have desire for other things, it has to become the prominent desire. Re-establish that relationship. Otherwise, the alternative continuing in this material world. and birth again and again and again. Again and again entering into that womb. Again and again having to grow up in the baby's body. Again and again having to die. She was right here with us. Continuously participating. Continuously serving us, helping us. We simply have to turn around and reciprocate with it. Sometimes we foolishly sit down and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram. But are we actually calling out to Krishna? Or are we busy meditating on what we're going to do today? Or what we did yesterday? Or what somebody else is doing? Or some vague memory from the past? Or some hallucination or dream of what we'd like to do? Because that's just offensive. An attempted chant. Basically calling out Krishna, come here, and taking no notice. Here's that personality who goes everywhere with us. To the hellish planets, to Brahma Loka, whatever foolish place we be, desire and endeavor, Krishna comes along. We sit there and chant Hare Krishna with no intention of wanting to reciprocate. Of course, we're thinking maybe, no, no, I want, then prove it. Prove it to ourselves. Because when we really want something, we make ourselves known, let it be known. We go out to someone and we want something from them, we let it be known. We flatter that person, we do whatever is necessary. But here we're saying that we want Krishna, but we can't even be attentive. And yet that same unattentive personality will have the audacity to try to speak about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. To try to present themselves as a great devotee. And yes, I know the Bhagavatam, Nam, Gita. Oh, I can chant sweeter than anyone else. Not a song. It's the name of Krishna. It's not the particular name. How many times you've heard that? But now it's time to realize it. To take the name of Krishna, it's manifesting on our tongue. Ready to take us. Ready to embrace us. Ready to reciprocate with us. Whatever mood we may wish. And yet we're simply thinking, oh, can you carry on serving me, please? I'd really like to be the most famous person. I'd really like to be the most beautiful person. I'd really like to have more knowledge than anyone else. I'd really like to be you, Krishna. You accommodate that place where you come. Because we're living entities. It's impossible for us to become Krishna. He tries to give us an opportunity to pretend to be Krishna, but it cannot work. This is the source of our miseries. This is the source of our confusion. Want to be Krishna. Well, we may give lip service. Krishna is the Supreme Personality, but Krishna is this, Krishna is that. I'm simply a simple servant. Now worship me. Now praise me. Maharaj Prithvi, in course of time, became the king of the whole world. Even Indra was bewildered by the opulence of Maharaj Prithvi. For he was constantly looking for that personality whom he saw in the womb of his mother. He was constantly waiting for that day when he could just leave everything behind. So when he was impressed by the Brahmin child, who was so happy. His only lamentation was, maybe I offended the Vaishnava. So simply wait for that moment. Leave everything behind. Everything was arranged. Everything was in place for him to leave. He'd been waiting for that. He was able to immediately just go off and sit down and listen to Sukadeva's. The sages, Naradyaste, Parashuram, so many great sages, they all came there at that moment. They all waited. Because they knew there were two great personalities that appeared in this world for one purpose. To reveal the Srimad Bhagavatam. Topmost literature. Personification of Radha. Now even rarer opportunities come. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Nityananda, Dwaita, Gadadha, Shivas, came to this world to give the opportunity to everyone to distribute this bhakti. So much higher than sitting down and hearing and listening. To give to everyone. What Navadvip is, Adoyadam, munificence, distribution of Krishna prema, that which is missing in Vrindavan, that which makes Vrindavan unapproachable. Yes, some aspects in Vrindavan are approachable, it's very large abode, but that inner Sankhya, Vraja, where Radha Krishna's pastimes are going on. Krishna every day is going out with the cows. 3 days sitting down and taking lunch with all of his family members and friends. That place is impossible to approach. Unless it distributes itself. What Navadvip is, Vrindavan distributing itself. And this is what the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is. Distributing to everyone the opportunity to enter into the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. Even great personalities like Vrindavacharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami. They all came again to Gaurangas pastimes to be able to enter into that top mode of devotional service. Even the great acharyas, even all of the forms of the Lord beginning with Bhava. They all came to join in Sankirtan pastimes. So they understand about being able to enter into the Sankirtan, being able to receive Radha Krishna praying in the mood of the gopis, in the mood of the cowherd boys, in the mood of the cows of Vrindavan. Trees, creepers. Without being able to receive that from those very same persons who have it, it's impossible to enter. But the Sankirtan movement come to this world 10,000 years of human calculation, once in a day or not. That's a small period, such a small window of opportunity. A And this is the entrance point, the outer entrance to the eternal service of life and motion. But if we're not able to take up the Sankirtana Spirit, the Spirit of Navadri, Vodaya, this munificence, this wanting to distribute, wanting to glorify, then we will not be able to enter. There's no way. The whole spiritual sky is designed to protect Brother Dham. There's no way an unqualified person can enter. But even the most unqualified can enter by the mercy of the devotee. They can invite him. Oh yes, come and join the Lord's temple. Very careful not to get ahead of ourselves. Think that we know so much. We try to enter into the inner regions even though we're not qualified. And try to even glorify those beings and distribute those beings. Persons are doing this and they may be appearing to have some success for some time. They will end in complete disaster. And the qualities of the Vaishnavas will be very honest, very straightforward. We're not followers of Puttana, who disguised herself as a beautiful lady who came in a mood of affection, motherly affection before Krishna, before you sold her and both me, simply to fool the intention of trying to kill Krishna. We're not followers of Puttana. Must not put out some kind of false impression trying to act that we're so much more than we are. Vaishnava is always very humble, tolerant, void of self-esteem, discretion. Vaishnava has the honesty to be able to say, I don't know. Rather than pretend, oh yes, you're right. Do not think simply having knowledge means that you know. But Saraswati is making intimate relationship with Krishna. He said she drinks out the mood. Knowledge is not enough. The mood must be there. Relationship must be there. This dry knowledge of such intimate affairs will be like a fire which burns and burns and destroys everything we have and will destroy those who are misguiding us. Following the footsteps of great personalities like Maharaj Krishna. Even though I have had the Darshan school, been protected by him, had his body renewed, did not approach Sukadeva Goswami like, oh, I know this. Very humble, please. Reveal to me the intimate relationship of Goswami's service. Knowledge is necessary. Why? For spreading Krishna consciousness, to convince people of the importance of Krishna consciousness. Knowledge is not necessary to go back to God. For that we need Krishna consciousness. We need to have the mood of a humble servant of Krishna. And if this is not being developed within the heart, there will be no progress. Simply sit down to chant Hare Krishna, and meditate on all kinds of nonsense. When you can sit down and become absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it really doesn't matter what you know or don't. Because great personalities, they're declaring that they don't know.
No Brahma, no Shiva, Udara. They say if anyone knows, Nanda Maharaj knows. And what does Nanda Maharaj know? No. Vishnu is my son. He can't take care of himself. We have to make all kinds of arrangements. What are you talking about? He can't even tolerate hunger for a few moments. Soon he becomes hungry, he starts crying. He was chastising Udara. And what do you know about this person? Even one may be able to enter into the spiritual world. Saraswati will bewilder that person. So much knowledge, so much happiness. Saraswati Lakshmi. They're all expansions from the intimate suckings of Radha and Krishna. But they will bewilder the living entities. Unless they were to come to that platform of pure devotion. And that opulence returns to sweetness. That knowledge returns to transcendental mellows, moods. God returned from Vrindavan to Krishna and said, no, I don't understand anything. Please let me take birth as a blade of grass, as a creeper in the land of Vrindavan. So that even the cow and another loaf of juice will walk upon me, and thus I may be able to start to understand the mood of devotion. Because his knowledge is simply a disturbance to that mood. Krishna is with us all of the time. Now we have to be with him. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. No, these great personalities like Udhava, they make this external act of rushing to Krishna to let us see that's who we have to go to. They very kindly come onto this platform and act out on this platform these activities. Otherwise, of course, she didn't need to rush anywhere. She could have just relied on Krishna. Yes, she might protect you. We're not in persons also. We don't think Krishna is our servant. Yes, we pray to Krishna. She didn't come to pray for herself. Pandavas were there. They had full faith in protecting Krishna, but they took up their weapons. They didn't think Krishna was their servant. They knew Krishna was going to protect them. But they were thinking, no, it's our business to protect Krishna. Yes, great devotees may appear to be acting in a particular way, but look at Prahlad Maharaj. Not once did he say, Krishna, come and protect me. Just carried on fixing devotion and worship of Krishna. But he was thinking, Krishna's protecting me, I'm such a rascal, but I need to suffer in this way to burn up all the offenses I've committed. And he kindly protected me by burning them up. But here we find Uttara rushing forward to show us. Then we come to that same point. It's no good trying to imitate the great devotees if we're not in that platform. But we're taught, yes, you pray to Krishna, Rakshama, Rahim. And as we come to that platform, not only will we not be thinking that Krishna should become our servant, but we'll constantly be thinking how to protect Krishna, how to suffer Krishna. There's no problem with the devotee themselves, but they should understand that Krishna is the ultimate protector. That's fearlessness. Vrindavas took up their weapons, they were fearless, they were sure Krishna was going to protect them. But still they didn't think that Krishna is my servant. I will endeavor. You will give me the intelligence, you will give me the facility, everything is coming from me. God is not an illusion. Krishna is giving the energy, he's giving the intelligence. I can protect myself in this way. That takes him through, that affects my life, I carry on. But he knows ultimately Krishna is giving that. And Krishna is providing the intelligence to be able to do that. It's totally surrendered to Krishna. First it's on the platform of knowledge, and later it will become on the platform of bhava. Complete realization. It's seeing Krishna everywhere. Not that I just sit in the corner, oh, it's your business to protect me, Krishna. I have faith. Soul will continue. When that body dies, soul will continue. Krishna will protect you. When he sees you trying to make him his servant, then he won't reciprocate. When he sees you trying to become his servant, then immediately he will become your servant. Not quite sure if I understand, but you know, anybody can distribute the Bhagavatam, whether they came yesterday in contact with devotional service or whether they're on the top of the platform of devotional service. But not anyone can describe the intimate aspects of the Bhagavatam. Holy name can be distributed to anyone and everyone by anyone. But the intimate glory of the Holy Name, that should not be distributed to everyone and by anyone. We all drink water, but some people can break down the, what water is into such fine details they can speak for hours about it. Some people just, this water quenches my thirst. But if that person who doesn't know anything about water tries to start talking about it, will just sound like a fool. And those who think, oh no, this is it, no, they will also be fools because they won't be getting proper knowledge. But water, whoever drinks it will quench their thirst. And whoever takes a bottle of time will become sure. As long as we don't try to enter premature, deeper depths of a bottle of time, or try to prematurely try to describe the depths of all the even though we're not there. Because that same water will turn to poison. Same nectar will turn to poison. What it thanks means. An activity which changes something to poison. Anything else? Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Shrimad Prabhupada.